If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
I can't forget the look in his eyes or the tears he cried as he said these words to me. All gave some. Some gave all. Some stood through for the red, white, and blue, and some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at www.tn4action.com. That's tn4action.com. The phone number to call in and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. And this is a special Veterans Day edition of Inside Tennessee, and I want to thank all the veterans out there for your service and your sacrifice, and thank their families as well. Before I forget that, it's very important that we remember our veterans, not just on Veterans Day. We've got some great guests lined up tonight, and guess what? They're all veterans tonight. We're going to have Colonel Jim Harding, retired Air Force Colonel, highly decorated from the Vietnam War, with us here in a few minutes. And he's going to be talking a little bit about his experiences, but wants to spend a little more time on current issues impacting the military. And then a little later on, we're going to have Sergeant Major retired Larry Williams, who's still very, very involved with the military. He's got a lot of things that he would like to point out to veterans, programs and issues that they might not be aware of. And then the last portion of our program, we are going to have a Chief Master Sergeant Charles Fryer. He is a veteran of three wars, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. So that should be interesting. You know, not too many of those guys around, and especially those who have participated in three conflicts. So we're honored to have him tonight, honored to have all of the veterans that we'll have on our show with us tonight. But I appreciate you tuning in, and, you know, one of the things that there's a lot of different programs out there for veterans, and, you know, we've heard about Wounded Warrior Project. That's a great one. There's Fisher House. There's other programs out there. You might have some. There's the Honor Flights for the World War II veterans. You know, and those things are important, and, you know, you don't have to go through an organization to help a veteran. If you know a veteran out there that needs help with something, you know, pitch in and do it. If, you know, sometimes even if you're not close to a military base, you know, there might be some veterans around there that can tell you some things that might help out some other veterans that are struggling. You know, your local VFW or your local Disabled American Veterans Organization. So hook them up with that if they're having some kind of problems with benefits or are struggling with health issues, and you know, see what you can do to help them out. But, you know, another thing that we need to remember is our veterans, all of our veterans, and this goes back throughout the history of our country, you know, beginning with our founding, you know, we need to remember what those guys sacrificed and what they sacrificed for. And, you know, America has always been about freedom, and we need to remember that. Okay, we've got... I believe we have Jim Harding on the line with us here. If I can get it to pull up. Colonel Harding, is that you?
I'm here, ready to go.
Great, great. I appreciate you joining us tonight. I know you're a busy guy. Yeah, even though you're retired, you're still busy, and I know you're still involved with the veteran organizations. Jim, now, you were in the Air Force, what, almost 30 years?
No, just 23 years. I got out because Carter got elected.
Say that again.
I said I decided to get out when Carter got elected. I just didn't feel I was a good commander in chief for our military forces.
Well, I understand that. I felt that way when Clinton was president. Fortunately, I got out before Obama was in. Clinton was bad enough, but couldn't imagine serving today. And I agree with you, Carter wasn't much of a commander-in-chief either, though it was well before my time in the military. Jim, you had some things tonight that you kind of wanted to focus on. I know you don't have a whole lot of time. So, once again, thank you for your service.
It's my pleasure to serve, and I will do it any time. And by the way, we may have to do it again, and I'm ready. Because that's one thing I'll never do is I'll never give up our country to alien forces, whether it be from within the United States or outside our borders. So there are a couple of organizations that I think are really important to us right now. One of them that we've talked about before is Veteran Defenders of America. And the reason that's so important to us right now is because we've got about 26 million veterans in the United States. Some of them are kind of old and can't do an awful lot, but there are an awful lot that can. And what we wanted to do when we started the organization was to organize the veterans together and then allow them or encourage them to then organize their fellow citizens, whether it be their neighbors or family, or whether it be the local law enforcement or just the other service organizations in their area. You know, we've got an awful lot of service organizations, but they're essentially there to kind of help people that have got problems, either financial problems or medical problems. But there's no reason that we can't work together with VFW, American Legion, and all these other organizations to have a community that's ready to take care of itself. And that's what Veteran Defenders is all about. We took an oath to serve, to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And when we got out of the military, that oath is still with us. That oath is a lifetime oath. And so it's up to us as veterans with the capability and the training and the knowledge to organize people to do that. So I would urge anybody that's a little bit willing to do something to go to our website, which is veterandefenders.org. That's veterandefenders.org, and learn more about us, get involved with us. And, you know, it's not like we need to have somebody at the top as the commander-in-chief of something like this. Every veteran has got the capability to lead others. It doesn't make any difference if you're only in for 4 or 5 years. You still went to a lot of training and have that ability to do the things that we need to get done in our local community so that we don't get caught unawares if something happens. And it could be a natural or a man-made disaster. And right now, it could very well be a man-made disaster because we've got a porous southern border where since 9/11, more than 600 other than Mexicans have come across, leaving behind such things as prayer rugs and Qurans and markings with Chinese on them and so on. So we know that there are people in the United States now that don't belong here. And, of course, we've got a Congress that's not willing to deport these people back out of our country. We need to do that. So on this Veterans Day, I just want to put a shout-out to all the veterans. First of all, to thank all the veterans for the service that they gave the United States. And it doesn't make any difference if you were in combat or whatever you did, you were a veteran, you answered a call, you put your name on the line, that you do whatever it took to defend our country. And so I really salute all the veterans out there and encourage you to get involved to the point where you're able to organize a group within your own neighborhood to take care of yourselves.
And that would be, like you say, it could be natural disasters or man-made. I mean, you know, we had a man-made disaster in 2008. We had another one in 2012. And, of course, we're feeling the effects of it every day. But seriously, we do have to prepare ourselves, even when we have, when you saw things like Katrina, you know, if people aren't ready and if people are just relying on the government instead of relying on themselves and being able to rely on each other, you know, the federal government's shown it's fairly incompetent, no matter what the scale of problems are. Seems like we do a good job of getting aid to other people sometimes, but not so much here at home.
Well, can you imagine a good NCO or a good officer allowing all those people to stand around and do nothing when they had all those buses they could have gotten those people out? All we'd have needed is a few people to take charge and get things rolling. If your government's not going to do it, and they probably won't because they're too involved in too many other things. But we can do that. We as citizens of our country, we as people who have served our country before and have learned the skills that are necessary to get things done, we can make that kind of thing happen. And I think that that's what we're trying to get done, is to get people more involved. I want to, you know, as a quote that I want to go through here, and it's a quote from a very, very important document. It's John 15:12. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And that's why I feel Veterans Day is so important to us, is we have to recognize all of those people who have agreed to lay down their lives, even if they didn't have to actually do it. Many of them are wounded internally, mentally, and we've had to come back to this country and try to make a go of it. Well, we're not alone. And Veteran Defenders website has actually got a set of lessons, about 23 lessons, that tell you how to get organized, what you need to do, what kind of medical help you need, what kind of physical help you need, the kinds of things that you need to have stored up, food, water, medicines, all other kind of stuff. These are things that you can do. Now, having said all that, we're going to have to also be a lot more involved as veterans with our government. And the reason I say that is because we're the only ones that know what it's like to go to war. And our government is putting us into combat situations without considering why they're doing it and what the after effects are going to be of that.
Yeah, they do that on a regular basis. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Apolsky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitutional Community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitutional Community with Matthew Apolsky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And, you know, that just dovetails really well with what we're talking about. You know, at the end of the Constitutional Convention, Franklin was asked, "What have you given us, sir?" And his response was, "A republic if you can keep it." Now, if you can keep it, and I know you're familiar with the term implied task from your time in the military.
That's right.
And it goes back to what you were saying a minute ago about being more involved. You know, we can't just sit back and, you know, pay attention to, not pay attention to what's going on, not be involved, not being informed. And it's so much easier to be informed today than it used to be. I mean, Internet, although you have to vet the stuff you get on the Internet, there is a lot of good information out there. You can actually go to government websites and see things for yourself. You can go to the state government website. So we definitely have to do more, and we have to work together. And like you say, military, if you've got it more than a few years in, you've gained some level of experience. And even those who are maybe too old to do a lot, guess what? If they still have a sharp mind, they can contribute.
Well, and they can contribute in so many ways. You brought up an excellent point just now, and that is that our military people have the capability to be involved in politics, not only as perhaps running for some kind of office, and we're talking all sorts of offices, the local commissioners, county commissioners, city board of directors, school boards, county mayors, city mayors, and, of course, state offices, state House and Senate, in addition to supporting people who are running for office that are conservatives, true conservatives. So those are things that we can do as military people. And as you say, you don't necessarily have to be out there walking the streets to do it. You've got most everybody's got computers, they've got capabilities, they've got good minds, and you can support these folks even if you don't have a lot of money and you're not really that mobile. You can do an awful lot of other things to support them.
And the Veterans Defenders, the intent is to work with local law enforcement, work with the local governments. It's not necessarily to be a a lone wolf operation. It's there to make use of the veterans and to work with the locals. Is that correct?
That's correct. And, of course, we've had several people say, well, you haven't given us any leadership. We don't need leadership. Everybody that's a veteran has got some capabilities, leadership capabilities. And you don't have to have other people that are in Veteran Defenders. But you can find other people that could be in Veteran Defenders. All you have to do is go to the VFW, American Legion, or these organizations, and you're going to find a bunch of other veterans. Get together with them, talk with each other, figure out what you can do to make your city better. Don't sit around and complain because the mayor doesn't do this or the state government doesn't do this. Do something about it. You can do that, and if we want you to do that. We want you to be involved. And you can be a very, very strong contributor to what's going on. You know, we've got some situations where we need to make more of a voice heard in the public. I'm sure you've heard of Aaron Vaughn, who was one of the Navy SEALs that was killed. Last night Saturday night, I was at a Reagan Day dinner with Rafael Cruz, and the Vaughns were there. They're from Union City. And,
I didn't know they were.
Yeah, they're from Union City. And talking to them, they are so much involved and have tried to get so much information out. In fact, they actually have written a book, which is called Betrayed, The True Story of Extortion 17. And our guys in the Patriots Union and North American Law Center helped them write that book. Well, this book is a way to expose people like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama who failed, who betrayed the trust that the nation has put in them, who committed treason and a dereliction of duty. And so this book is a way for you to find out a little bit more about it. I would encourage you, those that are listening, to either get the book or go to the library and read it. And by the way, tomorrow, Tuesday at 10 o'clock Central time, David Webb radio show is going to have them on to talk about it. And then Wednesday in the early morning, Fox and Friends is going to have the Vaughns on to talk about it. They're really great people, and they're trying to help our country.
Now, and the Extortion 17, that had to do with the SEAL teams that were involved with the takedown of bin Laden. Very suspicious how not too long after that, all of them ended up on this one helicopter that went down, and there were some last-minute personnel changes involving some of the Afghanis that were supposed to be on there. And you know a lot more about it than I do, but the whole thing is very suspicious, and it seems as if our SEAL team guys were basically, like you say, betrayed by our government. And certainly we're not getting good answers on what happened.
And this is what they're asking for with the book. They're trying to get the right answers out there. And you touched on it a little bit, but it seems very strange that a whole aircraft load of SEALs would be on an unprotected CH-47. Because normally when they go in an operation, they have a special helicopter that they use that not only has sensors to find out what the enemy is doing, but it has defensive devices on the aircraft to protect it against incoming missiles and so on like that. Them being on an unprotected CH-47 sent into a landing zone that was already a hot landing zone, that was already ground fire and everything else, that doesn't mean that they wouldn't go into something like that, but if they did do that, they would go in their own kind of helicopter, similar to the one that went in to the Osama bin Laden compound. In other words, a helicopter that could only protect itself, but could reject any kind of fire coming at it. So there are a lot of unanswered questions, as you say, and this book tends to help that. But the whole idea behind it is to put more light on what's going on in our government right now. That's what we need to do. And that's another thing that Veteran Defenders can do, along with the North American Law Center and the United States Patriot Union, is to try to make people aware of what's happening in our government, what's happening with our senior officers, what's happening with the procurement process of getting weapons systems that our government, that our federal military needs right now. You know, we don't need a Department of Homeland Security. We've got something called the Department of Defense, and their job is to defend the United States of America.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's really frustrating. A lot of people, when you mention things like Exhortation 17, and people will say, well, that's, you know, conspiracy theory or whatever. But, you know, let's remember, this is the same government that allowed Major Hassan from Fort Hood. They knew that guy had problems. I mean, he had been very vocal that he was, I mean, he pretty much told him he was a jihadist. That's, he did everything but come out and say that. And so they had every reason to be concerned about this guy. Not only did they allow him to get in a position to where he killed 13, 14 people, they won't even call it terrorism. They call it workplace violence. And they have bent over backwards during this trial to basically appease him. And, you know, even after this, what do we still hear? We still hear that, well, you don't hear much about Islam. You certainly don't hear anything negative about it in the military. I mean, the official line, even out of the people that teach at West Point, it's all politically correct. Let's not offend the Islamist. I think it's disgraceful. Our troops are being betrayed. If you look at all the people that are in the cabinet at the Obama administration, Muslim Brotherhood down the line for Homeland Security, that's flat-out betrayal.
It is betrayal. And the fact that we even have it here in our own state of Tennessee, where our governor has appointed Muslims to his staff, we're not talking about Muslims that have, and there are no good Muslims as far as I'm concerned. Muslims are people, and of course people can be either good or bad. Islam, there's nothing good about Islam. It defies us because Sharia law is totally counter to the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. And they've even said that Sharia law trumps our own Constitution. And that eventually the Muslim Brotherhood has said that the Muslim flag is going to fly over Washington, D.C. Now, you can't appease people like that because they can lie to you. That's right in their own Quran that they can lie to you because we're not Muslims.
Yeah. So it is disgraceful that, while we have our troops overseas fighting and dying, the very people with the same ideology are appointed to positions of power over here. Our borders are wide open, as you mentioned earlier. They're coming across. You know, it's not just the illegals from Mexico. It's the OTMs, other than Mexicans. And like you say, they found a lot of evidence to indicate that these are Islamists rather than Mexicans just coming over for a job, or to steal a job from an American, I should say.
Yeah, that's right. There's two other documents that I'd like to mention this evening. One of them is they come to America. It's a documentary by, and I can't think of the guy's name, but it's a DVD that they've put together, and this guy actually went down to the border. He actually went across the border into Mexico and came back across the border. He had a couple of pictures that were marked as explosives. He was able to get all the way out of Texas with those packages. And that's what he's saying is the border is tremendously porous right now. There are lots and lots of agents down there, but there's so many places along that southern border that people can just come right across. And what he was trying to prove he actually had one of the boxes marked as a nuclear weapon, and he came right across the border with that and all the way up out of Texas with it. So we know that that's a problem. And of course,
insane.
He did this on his own. It is. And the other one I'd like to tell people about is, especially here on Veterans Day, is called Taking Fire, Saving Captain Aikman, A Story of the Vietnam Air War. The name of the book is Taking Fire. It's written by Kevin O'Rourke and Joe Peters. This book talks about a PJ, fire rescueman, who went down on the ground to save a guy who had been shot down. He was an F-4 pilot, been shot down. He was in and out of consciousness. When he bailed out, he bailed out at night. His parachute was hanging up in a tree. He didn't know how far it was to the ground. He couldn't use one of his hands, so he couldn't use his lowering device. So he finally just said, well, I'm going to take a chance. And he unbuckled it from his parachute, and it was only about 3 or 4 feet to the ground. But he couldn't tell it because he was semi-conscious, and it was dark. But anyhow, when we sent the helicopter in to pick him up, it took so much ground fire that the penetrator that they lowered the pararescueman down to the ground on had to be cut off from the helicopter because they couldn't retract it. And, of course, you couldn't go flying through the jungle with a couple of people hanging a couple hundred feet below your aircraft. And we had to bring in another helicopter. But while he was on the ground, he was taking fire from all sides. He actually helped direct the fire from the A-1s that were supporting the helicopter so that we could shoot the guys off and protect him. And we eventually got him out of there. But it's a great book. It's a great read, and I think people would really enjoy it. It's called Taking Fire, Saving Captain Aikman. And
that sounds interesting. Now, is that somebody you actually served with then?
Oh, yeah. I was the on-scene commander for that rescue.
Oh, wow. And you were in Vietnam more than once. You did a couple tours, correct?
I was there from 64 to 67 and then again from 71 to 72.
Wow.
So I spent quite a bit of time.
A lot of missions there.
A lot of missions. 596 combat missions.
Whew. Close calls, I'm sure.
There are a lot of close calls. And a couple of them too close for comfort. But anyhow, on this Veterans Day, I kind of like to leave it with a thought for our veterans, and that is that you've served our country well. We really appreciate everything that the veterans did for our country. We know it's asking a lot for you to continue to be involved, but it would be a shame for the amount of blood, sweat, and tears that we've shed for this great country that we would lose it from within. And that's what's happening right now. And if we don't start doing something, we are going to lose it from within, and it's going to take a tremendous effort with everybody to keep that from happening.
That's a lot easier to keep it than it is to get it back, that's for sure.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Once it's gone, it's like Rafael Cruz said last night when he escaped from Cuba. He said that he was involved with the movement to try to get Castro out. He was imprisoned, and when he finally escaped, came to the United States because he knew he could get a new life here. And he was able to get a citizenship, and of course, as everybody knows, his son was born. His son is now an American citizen in the United States Senate. But his last point was that he was lucky he could escape from Cuba to another country. But he says, if America falls, there's no place we can go to escape.
Yeah, there's nowhere to run, nowhere to run. I hear people talk every now and then. They say, well, I'm just going to have to find another place to go. And there is nowhere else to go.
That's right. That's what he said. There is no place. You cannot escape to any other country.
Well, Colonel, I really appreciate you being with us tonight. I appreciate your service, and I appreciate the Veteran Defenders. And you want to give that website out one more time for the listeners out there?
It's veterandefenders.org. That's veterandefenders.org. And our sister website is patriotsunion.org. patriotsunion.org. That's patriotsunion.org. And both sites will lead you to a lot of information about what we're doing to try to make a difference and ways that you can help, either by joining up with us or starting something on in your own area.
Well, I hope we get a lot of hits on that site. And once again, I appreciate you being with us, Colonel, and thank you for your service. And God bless you and your family, and God bless America.
Amen. God bless America. Good night.
Good night. Take care. Let's assume that you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com. You're a conservative. You love America just like we do. And you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basis of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline of those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins. All right, don't go away. We'll be right back after this quick message.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
There's teddy bears and high school rings and old photographs that mamas bring. The daddies with their young boys playing ball. There's combat boots that he used to wear when he was sent over there. There's 50,000 names carved in the wall.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for remembering our veterans. We're going to take a caller real quick. We've got Kurt on the line. Kurt, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm good, Dave. How about yourself?
All right. You must have thank
some,
you for your service.
You must have some time to kill. thank you for yours, sir. You put in far more than I did and in the sandbox at that. So my hat's off to you, Master Sergeant.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad we got people like Colonel Harding out there. And, you know, we could use some more. We could certainly use some more.
Definitely. If you got a couple of minutes you need to fill up here or what?
Well, actually, I got another caller on the line. And we'll just
I was just going to say a couple of words about the event over there that Colonel Harding was speaking about.
Go ahead.
If you have time, go ahead and take your other caller, and then we'll get back to that if there's time.
Oh, go ahead. We got you on the line. Let's hear it.
Oh, well, all right. Well, there was quite an event. It was it's a little difficult to describe it accurately. There was a problem with acoustics in that new building over there, and it was hard to hear some people. However, John Miles and and Mr. Cruz both did a good job of speaking in such a manner that you could still understand them, at least I could pretty well, even with the bad acoustics. But the atmosphere, and I dare say it was because of the people there like Colonel Harding. It was kind of funny. It was such a rat race that I got to say hello to Mrs. Harding, but I never did get within speaking distance of the Colonel. And my highlight of the evening, frankly, was I had a private chat, if you will, off in a side room after it was over with the great Mr. Rafael, Pastor Rafael Cruz, and I was happy to be able to get that and was able to talk to him about a couple of things, and which I'm not really at liberty to go into detail on it right now because we were talking politics. But I'm very glad for that opportunity. And it was a great evening over there in Union City. I was glad to get to hear that man speak. He's fantastic. Anyway, go ahead and take your other call out there now.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate you, Kurt.
Okay, same here, Dave.
Take care. Hello, caller.
Hey, Dave, it's Jerry. How are you?
Hey, good. How we doing, Jerry?
Good. I wanted to say hello to Colonel Harding and thank him for being on our show. I know he's gone, but he's probably still listening, so we enjoyed listening to you, Colonel, and God bless you, and thanks for your service. I also wanted to remind all the folks that in reference to the things we're talking about, not to forget the States' Rights Committee is meeting this week on Tuesday morning at the Legislative Plaza. It's really important we support this committee, folks, so if there's any way you can be there, do it. Be there at 8 o'clock in the morning at the plaza.
That's 8 o'clock tomorrow morning?
Yep, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. And, you know, be there at 8 if you want to get a seat. Probably the meeting will start until around 9.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to be standing in the hall, you need to get there early. And, you folks can be there. Definitely be there because it's really important that we support this committee and let all our legislators know that we, the people, are behind this committee for our state's rights, because if we don't support it and we don't give it strength, it's going to go away, and it's up to us. We got this opportunity. Judd Matheny is working real hard for us, and we need to support him and the other folks on that committee.
And tomorrow they're going to do, they should have a copy of the fiscal review of the refugee resettlement program, which that was the issue they looked at first a couple of months ago. Actually, I think back in August was the first time the committee met. And the purpose of this committee is they look at everything through a 10th Amendment lens, especially things that are costing our state money that are potentially a violation of the 10th Amendment. And so that's the overall purpose of this committee. And I think it's actually, we call it a States' Rights Committee, a 10th Amendment Committee, but it's, I think, Joint Legislative Oversight Committee or something like that. There's from both the House and the Senate, you have members. And they look at it, okay, is it a violation of the 10th, and is it costing our state money? And so they're going to get a report of the fiscal review of the refugee resettlement program, and then they're going to talk about, as I understand it, they're actually going to bring up the issue of a CONCON. Now, they're a constitutional convention. They're not pushing one. They're just bringing it up, you know, can hear the good, the bad, and the ugly from both sides on the issue. So it should be good should get some good conversations going, if nothing else.
Right, and but this is really why it's important for the folks in Tennessee and the Tennessee people to support this committee and let our legislators know that we support this committee, because the things that they recommend, that they're going to recommend, are the things that are good for Tennessee. And you know, unfortunately, we got a lot of legislators up there who are more concerned about them than they are about Tennessee. And if
you don't have
they
to go
don't
to
get
DC
the message
that.
Right, and if they don't get the message that they work for us and they're going to be out of a job if they don't work for us, they're not going to work for us. And that's our responsibility to make sure they know that. And this committee was formed to help us do that. This is our committee. This is the people's committee. And it's up to us to support it. So I hope you folks that are listening understand that. And if you can get yourself there, get there. And if you can't, call your legislators and your senators, your state senators, and let them know you support this and that you expect them to pay attention to what this committee tells them. That's really important. As Dave explained what the committee is about, that's what it's about. Right now, the issue that they're working on is what it's costing Tennessee for all these immigrants that are coming in here. And, you know, we got to stop it. It's costing us a fortune. And it's going to eventually bankrupt the state if we keep letting it go on. And this is what they're trying to correct. And we need to help them do that.
Jerry, I appreciate you. I appreciate you calling in and, you know, reminding me about that. I intended to say something, but you made sure I didn't forget, so I appreciate that. And hopefully, I hope to be there tomorrow. I've got a few things that might prevent me from being there, but I hope to be there tomorrow.
All right, well, maybe we'll see you there. And, Colonel, if you're listening, thanks again for your service, and God bless you and your family. Hope to see you again soon. Take care, guys. Good night.
Take care, Jerry. Thanks. You know, and when we first opened up, I was talking about, you know, different ways to help the veterans, and we need to do that. But we need to remember, you know, what these guys have risked, and they all did it upholding their oath. Whether they thoroughly understood that oath or not, it doesn't matter. Look at what they've gone through to uphold their oath to the Constitution. You know, bombs, bullets, risk life and limb, away from family. You know, hey, we've got people that are still missing from Vietnam and wars prior to that. So these people risked it all. And, you know, the least that we can do is make sure that the country that they left us, the freedoms they gave us in this country, that we maintain them. We need to do that as citizens, anything and everything. But I'm going to tell you what, you know, I know a lot of the people that I'm involved with in the different organizations, I think that is one of the prime, you know, obviously all of us are constitutionally minded and we care about freedom, but I think most of us have a great appreciation for the veterans. And we don't want all that they've done and all they've sacrificed to be in vain. So if you love conservative internet radio as much as we do, then you already know about the Grit and Grace radio show. Jennifer Meadows and Josh Bernstein have been carrying a conservative message for the net for years, and now they're here on conservativenationmedia.com. Join Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for solid American patriotism, unapologetic commentary, the latest news and conservative analysis with a good dose of plain old-fashioned fun. That's Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number to call in is 718-305-7176. A little later on, we're going to have Sergeant Major retired Larry Williams, and he's going to be talking about several different veteran organizations that are in Tennessee, to include Honor Flight. He's involved with that. That's a great program, and he'll fill us in on the details. But just think about, you know, right now what's going on in our country. And if you think about, we've still got people in Afghanistan risking themselves and being put at a great disadvantage between the rules of engagement and this requirement that so many of them actually have in their camp, in their home, their very building, sometimes their very room, Afghanis. And that has not worked out too well. We've had a lot of them kill our guys, you know, and they do it. Why? They do it because that's their religion. That is what they believe they're supposed to do. And so our guys are put at great, you know, undue risk. It's always dangerous when you go anytime you go to a combat zone, but when you're dealing with people like that, and our higher-ups, our leadership just does not seem to get it, and they keep putting our guys in these dangerous positions. And it's tragic. It really is. We get a lot of people killed unnecessarily just because our higher-ups refuse to believe the obvious. And you're hearing a lot about a lot of different field grade officers and flag level officers being relieved. And sometimes that happens just in the normal course of events. They do something wrong and, you know, they get relieved. But there's been there's been quite a few of those over the last couple of years, and especially over the last few weeks. And people are getting relieved, and sometimes you'll hear explanations like lack of confidence. Well, that seems, for an officer that high up, you know, when you're talking generals, 2- and 3-star generals, to be relieved for lack of confidence. That just kind of makes you wonder. You wonder if ideology is not at play there. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside Tennessee. And thanks again for being with us.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Some gave all, some stood through for the red, white, and blue, and some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some gave all.
Larry, can you hear us?
Yes, I can, Dave.
Okay. I had a technical issue. I've been babbling for about 3 minutes, and apparently nobody heard me. Okay, but I'm glad you're with us. I appreciate it. And how are you tonight?
Doing fine. Are we live?
Yes, we are live.
Okay. I'm doing fine, and I want to thank you for inviting me on your show.
Well, I appreciate you being here. And you're one of those veterans that's never completely retired, correct?
Well, I guess you could say that. But when people make note of the volunteer work that myself and my wife do, I simply say that anyone that rose to the grade of E4 or above in the military was trained to take care of soldiers or sailors or Marines or airmen, and we're just continuing on what we were trained to do, that's all. No more, no less.
And you're still pretty busy, though, and you're involved in several different organizations. I know we were talking earlier, and there's some things, and you mentioned helping out fellow veterans. There's some things that you mentioned that you wanted to point out that some of the veterans might be having problems with that they're not aware of, and then there's some other organizations that you're working with as well.
All right. The first thing I'd like to mention is the importance of their discharge paperwork, commonly known as a DD-214. And for years, they would tell us that when we went home, we should register it at a courthouse in our hometown. But for a time back in 2007, I was a veterans representative for the Tennessee Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And we were trained at that time to discourage veterans from doing that because with this Freedom of Information Act, people now can get access to your discharge papers, which in most cases contain very personal information. Many of them contain Social Security numbers. So we started to discourage people from doing that, but advised them to put them in a very secure location, i.e., my wife and I have one in our safe deposit box at the bank. But the reason that this is so important to safeguard this form and also to make your family, particularly your spouse, aware of his existence and location is because that's the form that the veterans organizations will ask for when, in the event of your death, you request burial or veterans benefits for your family. That is where everything, that's the key that unlocks the door for veterans to receive benefits. So it is extremely important for a veteran to have their DD-214, make copies of it, have one in a very secure place, fireproof, theft-proof, and have your spouse know where it's at so they know where to get their hands on it in the event of your passing or in any other event where you might be involved in an accident and need VA medical attention.
Yeah, and like you say, that's one of those must-have documents. And it can also help them if they have for a VA claim, if they have problems. I'm sure you're aware that when you get out, you can sometimes have a zero rating for something, although it's recognized as an issue. Well, later on it can become a problem. Well, to go back to the VA to do that years later, you're still going to need a copy of your 214, even though you're in the VA system, correct?
Correct. And I want to thank you for bringing up that point. It's a very good point. Many veterans that I have encountered over the years will fall in a couple of different categories when I talk about health care. The first will be, yes, I'm in the system, and that's wonderful. The other will be, well, you know, I'm wealthy. I really don't need that kind of a coverage. Or they might say that they're just not interested in it. So what I do at that point is appeal to the brotherhood that the bond that we all made when we were in the military, serving together. And I try to explain to them it's much like any government bureaucracy. They'll look at each state, they'll identify the number of veterans in that state, and then there'll be a certain dollar value multiplied by the number of veterans, and that's the number or the amount of money that comes to your state, in our case Tennessee, to help veterans. So I, at that point, suggest to them, if you don't need a veteran's assistant, that's wonderful. But please put your name in the hat so you're bringing more dollars into the state to help the veterans that do have quite a few illnesses or handicaps or injuries from their military service that could use that additional funding. So the point you bring up about the health care, extremely important.
And, you know, with Iraq and Afghanistan, we've got some severely, severely injured people. Matter of fact, we got people that, you know, medical technology is wonderful in a lot of ways because, you know, a lot of these people would not have made it. Had they received the injuries that they got in Iraq or Afghanistan back when we were in Vietnam, you know, that time, a lot of those guys wouldn't have made it.
Exactly.
So the good thing is the technology is kept more people alive. But the side effect of that is there's still a lot of expense, and there's still, you know, it's still a struggle. They have more requirements. They have more needs in their condition. You know, prosthetics are not cheap, and they're getting better all the time. That's a good thing. On the other hand, they're not getting cheaper. You know, as they improve them, they still cost a lot of money. And, you know, anything you can do to help with that, you know, that's something that we need to keep in mind. Very, very expensive. And
exactly.
Like I said, and not to mention, even the ones who maybe didn't get a serious injured seriously medically, you know, there's other problems. You know, there's, you know, trauma and other things that go on that people have to deal with afterwards.
Well, and again, you bring up a very valid point. Vietnam-era veterans, which is my age group, look how long it took for the government to recognize Agent Orange. So the fellows that were already in the VA healthcare system had a leg up. I know I'm helping one friend now that was in Vietnam, an 11 Bravo, which is infantry, and it's been well over a year. And I am a commander in the Disabled American Veterans, so I know some things that the average person probably isn't aware of to try and get him through the system. And as I said, it's taken him, he's been waiting now over a year. So it's vitally important. Even if you feel you do not need that health care, you don't want to go to the VA for one reason or another, just go up, and it's so easy. You can do it online. You could print the form out. It's a standard form. All they a veteran need do is just Google veterans healthcare forms, and it'll come up. But I always encourage them, the very best way to expedite it is to print it out, pencil it in, and then take yourself and your DD-214 and that application and go up to Murfreesboro or Nashville, walk into the information booth, simply advise them that you are a veteran and you want to sign up for your veterans health care. At that point, they'll seat you with a counselor, and that counselor will load all that information into the computer. The reason I suggest that they pencil it out is sometimes you get a little nervous, let's say, or you might have a tendency to forget something, where if you've penciled it in the luxury of your home and the quietness, you'll remember a lot more. And that's very important, to put down anything that occurred during your military term of service, because you do not know what that's going to bring into the future. And you might have to fall back on that to get treatment or any other type of services for that disability.
And the Vietnam era guys, a lot of them, you know, I know several of them, and I think they had a harder time getting a decent rating, it seems to me. I know a lot of guys who were, you know, Vietnam era 11 Bravo or Vietnam era Special Forces, and, you know, they had some pretty significant problems, but when you talk to them and ask them what their rating is, you know, they get like a 30 or 40% rating. And, you know, you don't get a whole lot with that. And, of course, a lot of them fell under the old retirement plan where they subtracted a certain amount of your retirement based on what you got from the VA. So that's another thing that they need to follow up on when they can.
Exactly. But you bring up another good point. For those of us that retired, you have to reach a certain disability level before you'll be compensated for both your disability or your pension. I'll use myself as an illustration. With my disability rating, it does not meet that threshold. So really, the only savings that I receive is the tax. In other words, let's just use round figures and say I receive $100 a month in disability. Well, they deduct that $100 a month from my pension. The difference being, on a pension, you have to pay federal tax. On a disability, you don't. So in round figures,
right,
I would save $6 a month. So you're absolutely right. These disabilities can be challenged, and I always advise veterans to go to their county veterans representative. That's what they're in business for. They have an updated computer system. They know the rules, because the rules do change quite frequently, and they can challenge any disability rating and ask for an upgrade on their disabilities.
Yeah. Larry, we're up against a hard break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking to retired Sergeant Major Larry Williams, and this is our Veterans Day special. We're talking about benefits and other programs for veterans. Back to you, Larry. You were talking about the offset with VA retirement or VA and retirement pay.
Exactly. And just one last thing I'll close out with the DD-214, and then I'd like to move on to another topic, is when a veteran goes to file for Social Security, please remember to take along your DD-214. You can receive additional Social Security dollars if you have your DD-214. They will not necessarily make you aware that you should bring it, but have it and identify it to them for additional money on your Social Security. The next thing, Dave, if you'll allow, I'd like to speak about our honor flights here in Tennessee. Honor flights
Definitely.
Are free flights for our World War II veterans. And in our particular hub about 2 years ago, I was having difficulty finding enough World War II veterans. Because our World War II veterans are all now in their 90s, I place them in one of three categories. They've either gone, which is wonderful, or they haven't heard about it, and those are the ones that I earmark and target, and then the ones that are just physically incapable of going because of illnesses that come with age. We began the honor flights here in southern Middle Tennessee. In fact, we named it the Southern Middle Tennessee Honor Flights, and we've just now recently changed our name to Honor Flights of Middle Tennessee. But we began with a great guy named Milton Schaefer down in Winchester, Tennessee, and he contacted me, and we just started to work things out logistically. And we had our first flight in 2008. We do two flights per year. We like to fly in the fall and then again in the spring. We always fly on a Saturday. Usually it's late in the month, however, what really drives the train on the date is when we can get the best price for airline tickets from Southwest. Because we're not subsidized by any government agency or anything, what we do is raise the money through donations. Myself, I go out and do speaking engagements, put on a presentation, and the organization where I'm speaking that day normally will give us a check for either one veteran or a round figure, maybe $1,000. Each of our flights cost right at $18,000, and that's with 30 veterans and about 15 guardians. Guardians are really like body servants for the day, and guardians pay their own way at a cost of $400. Veterans, we will not accept any money from. And the way I break it down, if the veteran needs a wheelchair, which I provide, we have a wonderful respiratory, Southern Middle Tennessee respiratory company in Winchester, Tennessee, that is so generous and provides us with the wheelchairs for each flight, brand new wheelchairs, so our veterans are very comfortable. But if the veteran needs a wheelchair, then I have one guardian per veteran. If the veteran does not need wheelchair assistance, then I have one guardian watching over three veterans. What we do, we pick up in three locations. We pick up in Winchester, Tennessee at 2:30 a.m., kind of early, isn't it, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
And then we pick up in Tullahoma, Tennessee at 3, Manchester, Tennessee at 3:30. We're up at the airport by about 4:45, and we do have some veterans that meet us there that come from other parts of the state. We board Southwest Airlines. We, on the way up in the tour bus, we have a tour bus that picks them up, they have their breakfast, which we provide. Then when they arrive in the Baltimore, Washington International Airport, the first thing they'll see when they land is two fire trucks shooting an arc of water with their fire cannons, and the plane goes underneath that. Each of our veterans will have a polo shirt identifying them as a Honor Flight of Middle Tennessee veteran. They'll go into the airport. when they do, everyone stands up and applauds them for their military service, and this is both World War II and Korea veterans. There'll be a military band there to more or less serenade them, play all four of the service songs. They'll board a bus. They'll at that point have their lunch. The first stop will be the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And if I might relate an incident that occurred on our last flight, which was the 12th of October, as most of us know, there was a government shutdown. And I always fix the blame on the top guy simply because I know how the military works. And anyone that served for a period of time is familiar with the saying about command intent. Command intent
Yep.
simply means that the staff knows what the commander wants. With that said,
Yep.
when we got to the World War II Memorial, Scott Desjarlais, our congressman, and Congressman Marsha Blackburn were there to help move the barricades to push the wheelchairs in, but the Obama administration still would not open the bathrooms for our 80- and 90-year-old World War II and Korean
What?
Veterans. No, they were locked.
Good
they stayed
Lord.
Locked. So we had to go to the added expense, which, again, we raise all of our money through donations, to have porta-potties for our World War II and Korean veterans to make their water. It was very sad and disheartening to see something like that, to be so little as to punish such honorable people as our veterans. But nonetheless, that was on the 12th of October. After we got through at the World War II Memorial, then it was off to the Korean War Memorial, where the passing by, we moved one little barricade, and the Washington, D.C. police swooped in on us, and I'm not exaggerating when I say swooped, and blocked the bus, came up to the bus door with their hands on their weapons or sidearms, didn't have them pulled or anything like that. I don't want to be too dramatic. I'm just stating fact now. They had their hand on their weapon and asked what we thought we were doing, and we said we had what's called a freedom pass because these are World War II and Korean War veterans, and we were just showing them the Korean War Memorial, which at that time they said, oh, okay, well, then you can go ahead. After we visit the Korean War Memorial, then we go to the Vietnam Memorial. After that, it's off to the Arlington National Cemetery to view the changing of the guard. There's a brief tour of Washington to include the new 9/11 memorial at the Pentagon. And then something we started to do about a year and a half ago, which is a real treat, is we take them to Fort Meade, Maryland to eat in a modern dining facility. Because so many
of us... Oh, they're
in
for some culture shock there.
Absolutely, because I was going to say, I had enlisted in the Army in 1967, and I remember guards on the milk machine, and we always had what was called the seven-day menu, which you might certainly be aware of, where the mess sergeant would post for 7 days in advance what you were having for each meal. And there weren't any selections back then. If it was spaghetti, it was spaghetti. If it was hamburgers, it was hamburgers. And if you didn't like what was being served, you either starved or tried to find some other means to eat. Well, now when you go in, it's like a diner. It's pizzas and hamburgers and they just rave about it. They just can't get over how much it's changed, and they flat screen TVs, and so they really enjoy that. Go ahead, Dave.
You had it better than I did. I mean, when the whole time I was in, you would have a choice of short order, you know, burgers or a sandwich, and or the main line. But you know, there's not a lot of variety on that main line.
No.
And that 7 day schedule pretty much just not a lot of change there. You know, the last 7 days were probably going to be the choices the next 7 days. They might rearrange the days of the week they serve it, but that's about it. But yeah,
right.
Today it's just unbelievable, just totally unbelievable.
And, the reason for that was they drew the rations, and that's what they didn't have any variety to make. That was what you ate. That's what everyone ate in the Army that on that day. But they really enjoy that.
Yeah.
And fortunately for
Good.
Us, the provost marshal up at Fort Meade is originally from Murfreesboro, so he gives us a police escort from Fort Meade back to the airport where they get back on board. And, of course, they're tired. It's a long day because they get up probably around 1 o'clock in the morning to be ready for the bus. And some of them, they're packed a week ahead of time. They can't wait to go.
Wow. We have
never had a complaint. I have saved on my voicemail, one young lady from Lynchburg called me to tell me her father passed away, and all he talked about until the day he died was that honor flight. And I've had numerous messages like that. So when you can make a veteran that happy, it really is, it's a wonderful day. And I always come home and tell my wife it's kind of like children on Christmas morning because they're all so happy and excited. But they get back on the bus in Washington, and then they're back to Nashville, the tour bus. They get back on the tour bus, and then they take them back to where they were picked up at. Now, if everyone's listening tonight or has a World War II or Korean War era veteran that would like to go, I'm prepared to give you some phone numbers. If the veterans would like to go, they are more than welcome to call me. I'll give you my home number, which is 931-924-3000. That number once again, 931-924-3000. I'm the Veterans Scheduling Coordinator, so all the veterans go through me. We have a wonderful young lady over in Tullahoma, and her name is Lana Woodard, and she is a loan officer at the Citizens Tri-County Bank on Jackson Street in Tullahoma. And she handles the folks that would like to go as guardians. And the real special treat is if a relative of a veteran goes along, because they'll open up more when they're at the World War II Memorial and share the experiences that many of them have never spoke about. And the young lady who handles that, as I said, is Lana Woodard, and her office number is 931-455-3488, that number once again, 931-455-3488. And she can get you to be one of the guardians. The only rule that our national hub has is that a spouse cannot accompany the veteran. And the reason being, if the plane were to have mechanical problems and go down, you'd lose both a mother and a father. But
yeah,
with that
yeah.
said...
I've got to jump in real quick. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers. So what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And take it back to you, Larry.
All right. As I was saying, Dave, the only rule from National is the spouse cannot go, but it can be anyone else other than the spouse. It can be a son, daughter, grandson, neighbor, whoever. And it is a very special time when the guardian is a relative of the veteran and they can share those experiences. But that's the honor flights. Again, our hub is named Honor Flights of Middle Tennessee. We are the only hub left in the area because the Music City hub, which flew out of Nashville, we're only going to fly World War II veterans, and they were having a difficult time finding them, which I can understand. So last May 2013, they did their last flight. So we're about the only game in town. I have spoken to a young man, a retired Army First Sergeant up in the Clarksville area named Michael Flood, and he's just getting underway to get a hub up and running, and he's going to name that the Screaming Eagle Honor Flight Hub.
Yeah.
And I've been working with him to try to get another hub up in that area so we could get even more veterans up there. I always seem to be in a panic or a rush to get our World War II veterans up to Washington, D.C. to see their memorials simply because I know how quickly they're escaping from us due to passing away. And that's a big priority to me to get those veterans up there.
That's a great program.
It is.
And I'm looking forward to the one here in Campbell getting open. I've, That name sounds familiar. I might have met that guy at some point in time.
Michael Flood, retired first sergeant. Yes.
Okay. We've got to take a real quick break, and then I'll turn it right back over to you as soon as we get back. Don't go away,
I'll
folks. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
I'm gonna live and die in Cowboy Town.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in, don't drive drunk.
And I got a three-letter word for you, as in, get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we are talking to retired Sergeant Major Larry Williams. And, Larry, we pretty much covered the honor flights very thoroughly.
Right.
I don't think you left any unanswered questions. You had another program you wanted to talk about for our veterans.
I'd like to talk about Tennessee Code annotated 49-2-119. What that is the high school program for veterans from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam that left school to enter the military and did not receive their diploma. Now, this is not a GED where you have to take the five exams, which I want to point out is changing come 1 January. It's going to go from the $50 fee to $120 fee. And as in the past, where if you failed one test, you only need to take that test over again. Now, if you fail one, you have to take all five over again starting 1 January. So anyone that's on the threshold of getting involved, please do it before 1 January. But what Tennessee Code Annotated 49-2-119 does, it began, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a commander with the Disabled American Veterans in Tennessee, and I had asked about high school diplomas. I thought that would be a wonderful thing to make our veterans feel good and give us an opportunity to feel good doing it for them. And I was told there was some program that back in the 90s or maybe as late as 2000, but no one heard about it. So I made contact with Education Commissioner Keith Hoffman, and I didn't get a speedy response. That was last October, a year ago. And then I ran into one of our fine state senators, Jim Tracy, out of Shelbyville, and I talked to him, and he said, give me a couple days. Well, lo and behold, about 3 days later, a Mr. Stephen Smith, who's the Deputy Commissioner for Policy and Legislation, contacted me, and we just kind of put things together. I said, I'd really like to see Vietnam veterans incorporated in this. So the end product came out this past spring, and we've been using it. What it is the veteran goes to their local school superintendent. All they have to do is take a document showing that they served in the military. The only questions that are asked are what your name is, of course, what school would you have graduated had you stayed in school, and what year would you graduate? See, that way, it's not a GED, speaking in general terms. The high school diploma is personalized for that veteran with the high school that they attended, and it will reflect the year that they would have graduated. It's so simple to do. when they go to the school superintendent, and I always advise them to call to make sure the superintendent's there or his her representative, so you can sit down with them. Does not take long. They'll fax that information to Nashville, and within 3-4 days, Nashville will mail the high school diploma back to the high school, where it is signed by the school superintendent and also the president of the school board. Now, the state did come up with the idea, like so many governments, they were going to send the diplomas, and then I got back onto the phone with the commissioner's office, and so you're losing an opportunity here from your vested interests to score points with your citizens, but from this side, just to make our veterans feel good. That's what I like to see, and give us an opportunity, as I said, to make them feel good. So now it's been placed in the hands of the school superintendents. I'll give you two illustrations. Dr. Rebecca Sharber, who's the superintendent of schools in Franklin County, chose to do it at the school board meetings. And this is a splendid idea because school board meetings are filmed for local TV, and they're also covered by the newspapers, so it gives the newspaper the opportunity to take pictures of the veteran, his wife, his children, or whoever's there with him, and do the story on him to publicize it, make them feel good, and also publicize it for other veterans that aren't aware of the program as of yet. So I even had a superintendent call me from Pennsylvania. Somehow someone had given him wow. my name, and which I was very happy to. And I just want to bring this up simply to show my logic. He said, oh, we think that program's wonderful, and what we want to do is award the diplomas on the 2nd of June here at the Pennsylvania school that I'm referring to because that's graduation day. I said, well, that's splendid, but just think of this. These men are in their 80s and 90s. Are they going to be here next June? Oh, he said, I never thought of that. So you kind of have to war game these things. What I had suggested initially is during the month of November because of Veterans Day and May because of Memorial Day, or accelerate it as needed. If there's more diplomas going out, have it more often at your school board meetings. But all a veteran has to do, and you can get it also if your veteran is deceased and you just want to honor your father, your brother, or sister, or mother by procuring their high school diploma, just go to your local high school superintendent and tell them about Tennessee Code annotated 49-2-119, and within a week or so, you'll have your high school diploma. Back in August, there was a gentleman, I'll share this quick story, James Rees up in Shelbyville, Tennessee, and the housing authority director, someone again had given him my name, and he contacted me, and he told me this gentleman is a World War II vet. He left school to join the Army. He's 86 years old. He took the GED test 5 times, each time failing the arithmetic portion by one question, and he's suffering from dementia. So I immediately said, tell him to stop taking it. We'll have the diploma within 2 days or a week, which we did, and we had a ceremony for him at the Housing Authority headquarters in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Jim Tracy was there, our state senator, the superintendent of schools, the Bedford County mayor, and they present him his high school diploma. People can go online to the Shelbyville Gazette Times and pull it up. He stated it was the best day in his life to receive his high school diploma. He cried. His family came up from Texas. So, again, if you can make a veteran feel that good, it makes you feel good to be able to do that.
How many people have taken part in this program? Any idea?
No, I don't, because what do we have? 94 counties in Tennessee, and I've worked with Grundy County, Franklin County, Coffee County, Bedford County, but I'm not reaching way out. What I have offered the commissioner is I'd be more than happy to come up and do a short briefing for all the school superintendents because you have such a turnover in the school system. That, I think, is why the program hadn't been used since the year 2000, and it just needed to be brought back onto the front burner, tweaked a little bit, and it's up and running and doing making people happy. I just received Grundy County contacting me. They're doing their first presentation of the high school diploma this Thursday evening at the Grundy County School Board meeting.
Wow.
So, again, a wonderful opportunity to make our veterans feel good, to show them our appreciation for their service. And it's just a win-win situation. It doesn't cost the taxpayers a cent. And the only cost is they print the diploma, that's all.
You know, and the good thing about it, too, is it also, for the younger generation, shows them the importance of, you know, graduating high school. You've got these guys who, you know, went through World War II, Korea, or whatever, and maybe they went on and were successful even though they didn't have their diploma, but it was important enough them for them to go back and finish school. So that's another good message for the young people as well.
Well, that's good. If you're ready, I think I've beaten that one up pretty much. I'd like to just briefly touch on our Wounded Warrior program, Dinner Dance Fundraiser. That's going to be held at the Coffee County Conference Center, which is at exit 114 on I-24. It'll be Saturday, the 17th of May. We had one last year in May. It was the 18th last year. We do it on Armed Forces Day. It coincides with everything. And the fellow that chairs that is someone that you know, Dr. Jerry Anderson. Wonderful fellow. Yes, a retired doctor in Winchester, Tennessee. And we were quite pleased with the amount of money that we raised. We were able to send a big check to National. And then we hand-carried money up to the program up at Fort Campbell. There's a wonderful colonel. He's retired. His name is Britton, Michael Britton. And he runs the facility up there. And by the way, he's always looking for volunteers. Anyone that wants to go up with any sort of talent can be put to good use helping our soldiers transition back into civilian life. I know my wife and I are going to go up later this winter and just spend a week or two up there, stay in a motel and just go over there every day and work and do whatever they need us to do to try and help our soldiers get back on their feet and transition back into civilian life. And again, that's our Wounded Warrior program that we're doing here in Middle Tennessee. And then one last program. We have to remember we still have troops over in Afghanistan and Iraq. And there's a wonderful young lady out of Savannah, Georgia, who came up with a program called Adopt a Soldier. And you can Google that online, and all the information will come up. And what she does is assign you a soldier to correspond with. Just ask them how they're doing, cheer them up, just be concerned about them, because so many soldiers don't have families back home that write them on a regular basis. And I know my wife has one soldier, and I have two soldiers that we correspond with on the email, and they let us know what's going on and how things are within limits, of course. They can't tell us everything that's going on
right
there, but
right.
At least we have an opportunity Excuse me, Dave?
That is huge for the ones. That is huge for the ones who don't have any family or don't have contact with them.
Well, I think we can all remember if you're a veteran, we can all remember mail call, how they'd throw the letters at us, the first sergeant, and you were brokenhearted if you didn't receive a letter that day.
Yep, it was a bad day if you didn't get a letter. Larry, I appreciate you being with us, and I hope to have you back on sometime.
Anytime you'd like, and I'd just like to leave your audience with one thought. Volunteer. If you're a veteran, you've been trained to help troops, volunteer. Get involved. Do something. Help your fellow veterans. We cannot count on the government to help us. We have to take care of one another. And I'll close with that, Dave, and thank you for having me on your show.
Hey, thanks for all you do, and thanks for being on. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com and then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did. And I'm very glad you're with us tonight. Don't go away. We'll be right back after a short break.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey, the dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and this is our special Veterans Day edition. We've still got one guest who will be with us here in just a few minutes. It's Chief Master Sergeant Charles Fryer. He served in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, so hopefully he'll be joining us here in just a few minutes. I'm going to check in with Kurt real quick. Well, Kurt, have you learned anything tonight?
Oh, yeah, Dave. I was absolutely unaware of this honor flight setup. And I'll be honest with you, it excites me. I know a gentleman here in Paris, Tennessee, who is a World War II veteran. I see him nearly every Sunday, and I see him in the barbershop occasionally, too. He's a great gentleman. I met him just in conversation one day before I ever met him at church or anywhere else, and found out he was a World War II vet, and I don't know, we hit it off. We're kind of on the same page.
Well, I'll put you. You've got the number, but if you didn't copy it down, I will get it to you.
Yeah, I'll be getting back to you on that. Yeah, I gotta share this one with you real quick. This gentleman and I shared a poignant moment with him just this past Sunday morning, as the preacher had all the veterans to stand for a moment at the start of the service. But as we were leaving, he was coming up the aisles. I turned the corner, and he and I both we saluted one another as we passed, and we smiled at each other. And that was pretty special to me, coming from a guy that actually fought in World War II.
Yeah, they're definitely the greatest generation. Well, we've got Mr. Fryer on the line with us.
Hello,
Mr. Fryer, how are you tonight?
Well, kind of tired, but still living.
Well, hey, I really appreciate you being on with us. And we won't try not to keep you too long, but I do appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
you know,
your
it's,
help.
It's, There's you know, World War II veterans, you know, you're becoming rarer every day, and then you've fought in three wars. You know, that's not a lot of people have done that.
Well,
and so we salute your service.
I served in three different wars starting in 1942 in the Army Air Corps. So what can I tell
you? Well, you were, now we've talked a little bit, and you did what, right at 30 years?
Right.
And you mentioned that you were involved in the Normandy invasion, correct?
Yes, we got I was in the 4th Bomb Group, 641st Bomb Squadron of the A-20s, and we were in England. We'd run about 89 or 90 missions from England before D-Day. So my bomb group, we flew over 200 missions from the time we got to England in 44 until the war ended, and I came back home flew back with the airplane that I crewed. But we got to England and lost quite a few airplanes. The first one was crew chief on, had 85 missions. They were shot down, or shot up over France, and they ditched in the channel, and it's laying on the bottom of the English Channel right now, as far as I know. But I got a new airplane. And then after D-Day, we moved to Bretigny, which is right outside of Paris. Then we changed from the A-20s to the A-26 Douglas aircraft and finished the war with them. And we moved from, after we moved toward the front, we went to Lyon, France, and flew the rest of our missions till the war ended there while we was at Lyon. Then we put the belly tanks on in our bomb bay and flew the southern route back to Charleston, South Carolina, where we left our airplanes and we were assigned to Kunming, China. And while I was on my 30-day leave at home, they dropped an atomic bomb in Japan, so we reported back in, and they discharged some of us in October 1945.
So you were getting ready to go to Japan if they hadn't dropped the bomb?
Right. No, we were going to China, Kunming, China.
China, okay.
To bomb against the Japanese. Then I got out of the service, was building, got my pilot's license, aircraft mechanic, in Mississippi, and got a little hungry, went to Memphis, joined the reserve in the airport, and they activated us and sent us to Japan to fight, you know, haul troops. I was in a troop care wing, and we hauled people all over the Far East till that war ended. In 51 or 53, I guess. And then I came back to Randolph Air Force Base in Texas, reenlisted, thought I'd be settling down there for a while. Bought a home. 3 months later, I got orders to go to the 2584th Presidential Wing, at that time at Washington National and Bowling Air Force Base. So I spent 5 years flying a crew in an airplane, flying the president and the VIPs in Washington, which was quite
rough duty there, huh?
Well, there's 5 years, and the cost of living is high. I tried to get out. When my 5 years was up, General Leon Johnson at Supreme Headquarters, Air Deputy, came to Washington looking for a line chief. I told him I was ready to leave Washington, and he said, "How about coming to work with me?" And I was a tech. He said, "I'll promote you to Master Sergeant." And General Johnson was a Congressional Medal of Honor recipient, having destroyed the oil fields in Romania. And he was now then the Air Deputy General Norstedt. So I worked for him 3 years till he retired from the service. And then General Sam Anderson came over from Wright Patton, took his job as Air Deputy. He asked me to stay over 6 more months and work for him, which I did. And it was a pretty good assignment because that helped me with 3 or 4 four-star generals on my officer report, make E-8 and 9. I didn't have to meet any more boards after that.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. That's not a bad assignment for a career. You made your rank pretty quick, though, didn't you?
Well, after I made Master Sergeant, as soon as I come up each one of the other grades, I just made it. I never met no board. Automatically, I got promoted, which I didn't mind that. I got assigned to Randolph, and then they sent me to Selma, Alabama the week after the Martin Luther King, whatever you want to call it, fiasco. And I left there and went to Hawaii for 3 years. That was a rough duty. I mean, I'm not used to that hard duty, you know. So while there, I was on the en route support team going in and out of Vietnam and the Far East about twice a month. Got all my combat pay each month, and then come back to Arnold Center for a year and got notified I was going to Vietnam. So I wound up at Cameron Bay as a maintenance superintendent, which
wow.
was a real good job. It was a chief job, so as soon as I was an E-8, as soon as I was eligible for 9, I made it.
Yeah.
And then
well,
come
I have
back
some more questions
center.
For you here.
Sir?
I got some more questions for you here in just a minute, but
I got to read
something off here real quick. There can be nothing more outrageous to an American than the idea of an innocent person being wrongly convicted for a crime they didn't commit. But as they say, sunshine is the best disinfectant. We're proud to welcome A Just Cause with Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart to Tuesday nights on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Sam and Cliff take a hard look at what happens when the wheels of justice trample the rights of innocent Americans. There are real cases of real people who are actually innocent, but who are wrongly convicted. Join us for A Just Cause, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And this is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. We're talking to retired Chief Master Sergeant Charles Fryer, a veteran of three wars, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. And so we were talking a minute ago, and you were sent to Cameron Bay in Vietnam. And how long were you there?
There 1 year until the war ended, and we sent our airplanes, everything on the base back to the States. The ironic part of that was we were still building runways on one end, shipping them back States on the other, and I asked my boss, the commanding general, he said, well, we've let these contracts through Red Cross and others, and we got to fulfill them. So we were wasting more money building air-conditioned crew quarters at one on the, and the same time they moved all the airplanes, the C-47s, the 130s, into Cameron, and I was in charge with Colonel Hatt, my DM, to get them all back to the States. They sent us a bunch of mechanics, civilian as well as military, to pack everything up. We flew our own airplanes back, but we packed them up, sent them on board C-130s, and by that time we had the big ones after the C-5As. So
yeah.
We loaded everything we could. What we didn't, we buried in the sand, left it for the Russians after we left. But we left millions of dollars worth of new equipment. And then when the Russians took over, I'm sure they made millions digging it out.
Oh, yeah.
But
well, we've been wasting money for years, haven't we?
Yep. After World War II, we loaded them up, moved them out in the Pacific, dumped them in the deep sea. And then after
Dumped
them off where nobody could recover them. They didn't want them back on the public, on the market, the civilian merchants. So they wanted to get rid of them, so we load them on board air, flew them out, and let them go to the bottom of the ocean. And two boxes,
wow.
We buried them in Memphis, about a half mile under the airport there now, in Cosmoline, because the merchants didn't want tools and all. They wanted to, you know, build and sell new ones. So we've lost money everywhere we've been.
Wow.
And now, under Obamacare, I don't know what they're going to do to our veterans. I heard a program just now over Fox Radio that it was going to affect us retirees and people that were, especially retirees, on this Obamacare and the VA, and they don't know just how and how much we're going to lose.
Yeah, I've heard about that, too. The TRICARE costs are going to go up for us. I've got to take a real quick break, but if you just hold on, we'll be right back in just about a minute or so, okay?
Will do.
All right, thank you.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through ConservativeNationMedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
There's a Boy Scout badge. An American.
Little American flag waving in the wind.
And there's 50,000 names carved in the wall. There's 50,000 names carved in the wall.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're speaking with Charles Fryer, a veteran of three wars. Charles, we got a phone call on the, we got a caller on the line. I'm going to go ahead and take the call if that's all right. I think I know who it is, and he may know you as well.
Whip him on. Let's see who he is.
All right. Caller, do you have a question? Caller, you have a question or a comment? Okay, well, I guess not. All right. Anyway, you were talking before the break about, I guess, wasting money is nothing new for the government.
Especially now, right?
Yeah, especially now. Well, you know, that's one thing I've even though we have all these problems, I happen to know from my the line of work I'm in that, you know, the old thing that towards the end of the fiscal year, they have to spend all the money. If you don't spend all the money, then they'll cut you for next year. And so every year towards the end of the FY, whatever you didn't spend, they want you to hurry up and spend.
Well, they kind of cut that out after the Korean War. But are they still doing it?
Oh, no, they've been doing it. Yeah, they're still doing it. They've been doing it for years.
Well, we used to have aviation fuel left over, you know. But since Mr. Obama's been there, they have to keep borrowing more and more. He burns it all up.
That's just on his vacations, huh?
Yeah, because out of the 5 years I flew in Washington with the 2584, when Ike was president, we used to do a lot of that, but I thought that had ended till we got, well, our old buddy George Bush, and now Obama has done them all. Went beyond and what any other president's ever done on flying the presidential aircraft.
Yeah, yeah. He's wearing it out, that's for sure.
He's wore it out.
Now, from the time you were in World War II, you probably didn't see a whole lot of difference in the military between World War II and Korea. But by the time you got to Vietnam, you saw probably quite a bit of difference. What were the differences you noticed about the troops?
Well, back in World War II, when you was an NCO and officer, you gave an order. Nobody questioned it. But during Vietnam, you tell a guy to do something, he'd say, why? What reason? Well, the old World War II, you got a command, you carried it out. That ended, and the military, they thought they were so smart, they wanted an explanation for every order you give. That's the biggest thing I was confronted with. It started in the Korean War and was, you know, really amplified during the Vietnam conflict. We never did ask why. We just did it. But in senior NCOs and the younger one, they always want to know why. You can't stop and tell everybody why you carry out orders. And I don't know how. I've been retired since 73, so that's a long span. It's ironic I draw more in 1 month than I do in the first 8 years in the service. 1 month. When I started it was $50 a month in the 40s.
That was going to be my next question. $50 a month.
Yeah.
Now, that wasn't even a lot of money in 1942, was it?
Well, we scraped by. We didn't have to buy no clothes. Lived on the base. They even give you laundry tickets to be sure that you washed your clothes. Didn't give you cash because you drank it up. But we also got theater tickets, which was 10 cents to go to a movie on base. And we was a cleaner, meaner outfit back in World War II than they are now. Well, they might be pretty clean now, but Afghanistan's a dirty place.
Yeah, yeah.
So was Iraq.
It's pretty nasty over there.
It sure does. I need board now. You're talking about the great generation. I think they're a great generation. And I take my hats off to them, I'll tell you.
Well, they have, you know, you got to consider anybody that's come in the last 12 years, they knew there was a good chance they were going somewhere, that's for sure.
That's right.
And there's several of them that got multiple tours.
You know, they have a limited enlistment now. World War II, we were serving duration plus six. That could have went for 20 years.
Duration plus six, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's the way they recruited you during World War II. Duration plus six. Now, a lot of them served more than 3 or 4 years.
Well, I'm going to try this caller again and see if we can hear him, see if we can if he'll pick up. Caller, if you have a question or a comment?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. Would Chief Master Sergeant Fryer tell the audience how he was promoted to E-9 at Arnold Air Force Base?
Well, Sergeant Major Larry Williams, I think I've told you that a dozen times. He forgets pretty quick. I got promoted Pacific. I got promoted on my record, and I wasn't supposed to be there, but anyhow, I was the first one promoted to Arnold Center in 69, I guess. But I was promoted out while I was in Hawaii and flying in out of Vietnam. But it wasn't a happenstance, Larry. This was they promoted a man because he was qualified. I know what he's getting at.
Well, I would say you were probably qualified at that point in time.
I had 3 4-star generals thought I was. And I,
I
served under a 1-star in Alabama. And out in the Pacific, General White was a 2-star I worked under. So after, and then Arnold Center, General Lowe was the commander there back in when I reported in. That's what Larry's getting at. See, he's kind of pulling my leg a little bit from the mountaintop. Have you already talked to Larry?
Had Larry on. We had him on right before you came on.
I wish I'd known what you asked him, because no, I'm just kidding. I didn't see him for lunch today, but I'll be talking to him the 19th. We're going to have dinner together. All the disabled veterans, we have a Dodge Chevrolet Ford dealer here that feeds us all every November. Takes care
really?
Of disabled veterans. Yeah, Russell Barnett. This will be the 12th or 13th year he's fed from 70 and 80 to 100 veterans.
Wow.
come down and eat with us.
Well, I'll be Larry's guest. I'll on that sometime.
Well, this year it's on the 19th. We'll get here about 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And Larry and I'll let you eat with us. Won't you, Larry?
Well, I'll have to. I definitely want to meet you two guys. I have to get out that way sometime. And Larry, if you're going to be coming to the Fort Campbell area, just bring Charles with you. I work and live close by, so I definitely would like to meet you guys.
We're at Fort Campbell?
Yeah, I work at Fort Campbell. And,
oh, you do?
I live. So.
Yeah, my son was at Fort Campbell while I was in Vietnam for a year. He works out on the center. Civilian now, but I used to, when I was at Shaw, we fact for the Army, kept some pair of airplanes at Fort Campbell and Fort Bragg both when I was at Shaw.
Yeah.
So for the last 2 years I was in the service, so I got familiar with you all, with the Air Force, with the Army in there facting, you know, for them with assessors.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're using now, but we had assessors back in them days.
Well, sir, I'll tell you what, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I appreciate your service, but we're just about out of time for the night, and thanks again, and I hope to have you back sometime, and I hope to meet you and Larry.
Well, we can kind of help you arrange that some way or another. Larry makes more arrangements than I do, so he gets around more.
Okay. All righty. Well, I'll be in touch.
Thanks a lot, and keep up the good work. And thank you
for
your service in Iraq.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate both of you coming on, and take care.
All right. Thank you now. Bye.
All right. Thank you all. Good night.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again.